everybody. Good
morning. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate y'all and are happy to welcome you to this worship service here today at the Augusta Road Church. Also, let's say happy Thanksgiving, happy early Thanksgiving to everyone. I really do hope that you enjoy the holiday. I trust that it will be enjoyable. It's always a fun time of year. Kind of, you know, this year's Thanksgiving has me feeling a few mixed emotions, you know, like it's always fun. I love to eat, so I got that going for it. But also, you know, it's pretty amazing how quickly it's come this year, you know, and it is the start of a busy season until the end of the year. So there's a lot that goes into one's mind thinking about this time of year in particular. We happily have an opportunity to reflect on some of the things that we're thankful for, and we're going to be doing some traveling. My family and I, we're going to Julie's family's house, my in-law, so appreciate the prayers. We're excited about that trip. We don't make it every year, and I'm anxious to see how it's going to go, all of us being in a car for that long. It should be interesting. We certainly do want you to know that among the things that we are most thankful for this year is you. We love the Augusta Road Church of Christ, and as we count our blessings this season, you will definitely be on that list. We love this church very, very much and are super excited about the way that we are working together to please the Lord. Thinking kind of along those lines, there's a verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I don't really want to study the chapter with you, although that'd be a wonderful thing to do. We'll do that some other time, perhaps. But I want to use verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, as kind of the push-button start to this lesson this morning about thankfulness. It is where the Apostle Paul says, "We are bound to give thanks." And he goes on to express some things that are in his heart that he's thankful for. But it's really the opening line that kind of draws me in and captures my attention, and that I want to use with you as kind of a premise moving forward. Paul says, "We're bound to give thanks." That word that he uses is a neat word. Apholo is the term. And it's used throughout Scripture. It shows up again, or another place, in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 30. Jesus is talking to us about forgiveness and debt. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 30, this same word that we saw over there used by Paul is used again, and it's translated as debt. Matthew 18, 30. Same general passage, Matthew 18, this time, verse 34. It's translated due, D-U-E, like past due. That's due now, that sort of concept. And in Luke chapter 17, Luke 17, verse 10, this word is translated as duty, like something that you are obligated and sworn in some cases to do, your duty. Well, that gives us kind of an interesting thought about Paul's words and how we want to relate them to our lives this morning. Paul says, it's my debt, it is my duty, it is due, it's right for me to express thanks about some things. And I think that we could, of course, all say the same thing this morning. It is right, it is incumbent, necessary for us to express thanks for some things. And I have a list. It's not a full list. It's not a comprehensive list. And your list will look different from my list, I'm sure. But I bet you I came up with some things that I'm thankful for that you're also thankful for. Number one is our life. You know, our life. We're alive. And that is a tremendous blessing from God. We do not have perfect lives. I I listened to a study, the findings of a study about happiness. I found it rather intriguing and noted down some of these parameters because I would love to study them further, maybe even preach a lesson or two on the subject. But the study found that people are most happy in their late teens and early 20s, all right? And, you know, that was kind of right? People are most happy when, you know, they are just getting started. They're in that phase of life where they're free enough to leave mom and dad's house, usually, and free enough to kind of be treated by society as an adult. But really, the rigors of adulting haven't really set in yet, you know. So that sweet spot from age 18 to 21 or so is when these folks found that people are most happy. And then happiness kind of trails off, you know, like a roller coaster. It peaks around age, you know, 21, we'll call it, and then declines throughout one's 20s, 30s, 40s, early 50s. But then the study found that in one's later 50s, happiness spikes again, you know, and people are relieved, it is speculated. People are relieved that, we've made it through some of the big things that life has thrown at us, and happiness is at a higher state in those later stages of life. Life is a blessing. We realize that we don't have the life that we necessarily dreamed of. You know, when I was a little boy, I was going to be a famous actor, a famous singer, and a famous athlete all at the same time. You know, that's kind of the way we think in our immaturity and in our youth. And life throws us a lot of different unexpected things. And we realize that, you know, as we get a little older, we realize that the life that we have is a little different from the life that we envisioned. You know, I remember all of the famous movie stars that I was going to marry when I was in 10th grade. You know, they didn't know I was going to marry them, but my plans were to meet these famous folks and marry them, and it doesn't work out, right? The life that we dream of and tell our friends that we're going to have in elementary school and middle school, it isn't the life that is actually ours, but the life that we have is a wonderful, wonderful blessing from God. And this morning, we're not just alive. Sometimes I remind my kids that, you know, your life has options. You know, when you go to buy a car or a phone or whatever it is that you're buying, you know, you have some possible upgrades. And usually in my thriftiness, I say no to most of those upgrades. But I remind my children ever so often, you know, your life has some pretty sweet upgrades to it. You don't have the base model package. You've got some perks here, and we all do. We all have some upgrades and some perks in life. We're not just surviving. We're not just getting by. We're doing substantially better than that, and it's necessary for us to thank God for the life that we have. Maybe it's not the life that we thought we would have years and years ago, but God knows best. That's not a surprise to anybody in here. God knows best, and He's given us a very, very good life. In fact, we're healthy enough to make plans this Thanksgiving season. We're healthy enough to go places, to be around other friends, family, and loved ones who are also healthy enough to enjoy this time together, a meal, one another's company, some recreation. We're healthy enough for that. And our life is a vapor, the Bible says, a tent, the Bible says, It is cut off, Moses says quite famously in Psalm 90, verse 10. He talks about the years of our life. And then he says at one point, it happens to everybody, at one point it's cut off, right? The life and the attachment that we have to this body, to this ball, this earth that we're on, that all that's cut off. And kind of like a balloon, it flies away, and we, the real us, fly away, Moses says, Psalm 90, 10, to be with God. And just like that, you know, our life is put into magnificent perspective. We value things at different stages of our life, and we realize when really it gets down to it, what's most important is, well, our relationship with God. Solomon was a man who learned this lesson in quite a scientific way. I love the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. It's where the wise man there puts life to the test, quite literally. Solomon's goal in Ecclesiastes is to figure out what is the meaning of life. And Solomon was more than up for the challenge. He was eminently smart. He got that wisdom from the Lord, obviously, but he got his wisdom from the Lord quite directly as a result of a prayer that he prayed. And not only was Solomon super, super smart, but he was also loaded. He was rich. And God blessed him with those riches, obviously, but God blessed him with those riches because in Solomon's prayer for wisdom, God saw humility, and God rewarded that humility by giving to Solomon the wealth, the riches that he had not asked for in that prayer. And Solomon, with his incredible mind and his impressive bank account, puts life to the test. And he tries it all. I mean, read Ecclesiastes, please. Do yourself the favor of reading the book of Ecclesiastes. And you will find Solomon putting things to the test. He's testing. Well, really, you know, the long and short of it is Solomon does anything that he thinks could give life meaning. He tries working all the time. He tries building his dream house. He tries drugs. He tries women. Anything that the man could think of that would give life its missing meaning, he tries. And he was smart. He was well-funded. So he could do whatever he wanted to do. And he did. And he comes to the inescapable conclusion in chapter 13, Ecclesiastes chapter 13, verse 12, famously declares, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon conducted a science experiment, and here are his findings, and they speak to us today, where Solomon says, fear God. That means respect God, reverence God, put God first. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is what you have to do to give your life meaning. And we sometimes miss that for the day-to-day rigors and worry of life. Life is tough. Life is full. Life is busy. One of the reasons why a lot of us sit here this morning surprised at how quickly Thanksgiving has come around this year is because we've been busy. I mean, we've been busy for months and months and months and months. And that has passed our time very, very quickly. But we need to realize that there is so much more to life than just the things that we fill its time with. In the grand scheme of things, no matter how long we live, we're here for a short time. James beautifully compares our life to a vapor. And no matter how long you last, no matter how long you live, that vapor will soon vanish away. And then what? Then what? Then we go to be with God, where the first thing that will happen is He judges us. We will be judged by the Lord, and we will be sentenced by God. Eternity will begin, and that's when we really live. You know, we live in eternity. Unendingly, we live there. In one of those two places we have been sent to, either heaven or hell. Our life is here for us to determine which it will be. As we get older, we value our life, we value health more, literally and figuratively, we value our health more. And it is a shame to see so many using the gift of health and life that God has given to turn against Him. God has given us wonderful bodies, beautifully designed, carefully made, that can take us a lot of places. And a lot of people use this very blessing from God to forsake Him. That's sad to see. And sometimes we don't learn those lessons until later in life. But we must learn them if we're going to be saved by the Lord, who wants us to be saved. So, well, one of the things we're bound to give thanks for today and this Thanksgiving season is our life, our health. These are tremendous blessings from God that we enjoy and, quite frankly, take for granted far more than we should. Another thing on my list that we're thankful for is our salvation. Our salvation. We should be among the happiest people alive, and yet I don't think that we are. We have a very complete, filled-in view of things. We know that there are some big problems in this world, but notwithstanding that, we should be happy. Paul talks to us about Christian joy in the book of Philippians. And if you're making a list of things to read, add that to your list. It's just a short book. You can read it a bunch. And it would do well to read a bunch. Because in that book, Paul talks about joy. He talks about peace. Things that people want in their lives. You know, I read a headline that said, you know, majority, for the first time in a long time, a majority of Americans are now saying they would rather not exchange gifts this holiday season. You know, that routine, that practice is stressful for a lot of people, you know, and the over-commercialized society that we've kind of made is part of the stressor of that. Now, you know, now you have to give people the best gift imaginable. You have to find the perfect something special for that one you love. And the stress is off the charts. And so people are slowly coming to a point where they'd just rather not do it. And are being honest enough to report that to pollsters, to people who are conducting these kind of surveys. So things maybe are changing before our eyes, but then again, perhaps not. There will always be a push to add stress and discomfort to our life. And we Christians, we have to figure out a way to live above that. It's hard, sure, but we have to figure out a way to put ourselves, to put our minds in a place that is joy, that is peace, that is comfort, that is tranquility, that is salvation. I mentioned the book of Philippians because it's beautiful, not just in the words that comprise it, but it's beautiful also because as the Apostle Paul, its writer, is writing those inspired words, the Apostle Paul himself, as he talks about the peace of God, as he talks about rejoicing in the Lord, as he talks about working together as a church in unity, as he does that, Paul is himself locked up in prison. And locked up in prison, might we add, unjustly, for nothing that he's done. It would be pretty easy for someone like Paul to be bitter, you know. Have you ever been locked up in prison? If so, that prison wasn't like the Apostle Paul's prison, number one. And number two, Paul was there unjustly, unfairly. He was literally innocent of all the charges brought against him. The only thing Paul did wrong was talk to people about Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they wanted to make Paul's life miserable because they didn't like the Jesus that he was preaching. So Paul's in jail, a cruel, inhumane, harsh sort of jail for no good reason. And from there, Paul says to Christians here and specifically at Philippi, you need to be happy. You need to find a way to rejoice. You need to find a way to rejoice. Do you think Paul was living in some sort of bubble in isolation when he tells these Christians to rejoice? No. When Paul tells them to rejoice, he's on the receiving end of some of the worst the world has to offer. But Paul says you can still find a way, you can still find a way to be happy. And Paul's way, our way, the way we suggest and recommend is to be in Christ, to be saved. That's our escape from the world. When people think about their escape from the world, ironically, they think about another place in the world to escape the world from, like a beach somewhere or a quiet place in the house somewhere. When we go to Thanksgiving at Julie's parents' house, man, I'm worried that people are going to be around me all the time. There's not going to be anywhere to go to escape. And sometimes, you know, people want, they crave this escape, even in nice cities like where we live with a lot of amenities around. They want to get away and go somewhere else. Well, the true escape from this world is in Christ, in our salvation. Because it's only then that we can really hit the pause button on this world and take our minds, our thoughts, our soul somewhere else that is truly much better, right? When you go on vacation, even if you go on a nice vacation, it's just a little escape, right? You still have the same things in different places. I mean, traffic's different, and the license plates are different, but you still have to wait for the other person to go before you can go. And the rigors of life aren't on hold. I mean, they're just kind of changed up a little bit. You know, you might not have to do the dishes when you're on vacation because you go to a nice place to eat, but you have to pay for that, and you have to get there, and you have to make sure that you're there for your reservation time, and that there's availability, and that the menu has something that everyone can enjoy. So the rigors of life, they don't stop. They're never really escaped somewhere else in this world. But in Christ, those rigors of life stop dead in their tracks. And we can hit the pause button on this world and take our minds or thoughts somewhere else that is truly much better. Have you seen the little covers for Facebook photos going around? Thankful, blessed, grateful, thankful, grateful, blessed, I think it is. Are you really thankful, grateful, blessed about your salvation? If you're really grateful and thankful for your salvation, here's what I think you'll do. I think you'll talk to somebody else about it. You can blame it on me at the Thanksgiving table if you want. You can say, you know, my preacher is trying to get me to talk more about God this Thanksgiving. And so I want you to know that God has done so much for my life. And it, you know, depending on what you talk to around people you're around on Thanksgiving, it might be a different conversation. But give it a try. If you're really thankful for the Lord, if you're really blessed by Him, if you're really grateful for that salvation that you have that you don't deserve, you got to talk about it with people. You can't keep it to yourself and then claim that it's really changed your life. No, it doesn't work like that. Blame it on me. You know, we're wanting to think more, talk more about God, and I just have to say that being saved means the world to me. Being saved and knowing that I'm pleasing the Lord with my life, as imperfect and messed up as I am, I'm pleasing the Lord with my life, that's a real sigh of relief this holiday season. Say that to somebody. I dare you. I want you to. And who knows, right? I'm not pretending that you're going to baptize the whole Thanksgiving table if you say that, but say it and then open the door just a little bit. I accidentally got into a conversation with a guy the other week about basketball. And buddy, he loved basketball. He talked and talked and talked and talked about basketball, and I couldn't keep up. There was no way. He loved it. He was more thankful for basketball. He appreciated it way more than I do. And I was happy, you know. I was thrilled that he found something that he enjoys so much. You know, it was kind of neat to see his exuberance and appreciation about basketball. Be that in somebody else's life about the Lord and about salvation. Be that in somebody else's life about God, about Jesus, about heaven. Be the person in front of somebody else who is clearly thankful for and grateful for what God has done. And we let other people know that. And who knows? It's not a Bible study. I'm not pretending that it is. It's not a course like what we're talking about on Wednesday nights to take our friends through. But it's an opportunity. And we want to seize as many of those opportunities as the Lord gives us. And the great thing is He gives us opportunities over and over and over and over again. And we can let Him know how much we love Him by letting others know how much we love Him. You know, a secret loyalty, quiet loyalty. The Bible talks about this. Secret support, quiet loyalty. That's not really loyalty at all. If we only talk about the Lord and tell one another how thankful we are to be saved when we're here in this room, I mean, this is great, but if this is the only place we're talking about God, the only place we're thinking about how blessed we are to be saved, then we're missing so much. So, Let's get out there in the world and just talk about it. If He means so much to us, we'll find the words. It'll be easy for us to talk about things that we love. We don't have to read a book to learn how to talk to people about our kids. Have you ever heard of such a thing? We don't have to have a workshop to learn about how we're going to talk to strangers about our grandkids. Man, people do that all the time. And they do that all the time because they love their grandkids. And when you really love your grandkids, or basketball, or your pets, talking about them will be super easy. When you really love the Lord, talking about Him will be super easy. Are you thankful for your salvation this morning? I hope so. I hope, first of all, that you are saved. If not, I want to invite you to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized this morning. That is what the Lord says you must do in order to be saved. And we're here to help you with that this morning. As somebody who is already a member of the Church of Christ, if your relationship with God is not where it needs to be, fix that so that you can have that peace and that joy that we talked about earlier. If we can help you as a member of the church, we're here for you as well. We invite you while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.